WSB's Money Matters with Wes Moss. Certified financial planner and chief investment strategist from Atlanta's Capital Investment Advisors. Wes talks to you about investing and saving for the future. Brought to you every Sunday by RBM of Atlanta Mercedes-Benz Sandy Springs.
Ready, Luke Moss? Let's do it. Good morning. Welcome to Money Matters here, Sunday mornings, 9 to 11. For Money Matters, I'm your host here. The number in the studio, as usual, 404-872-0750. And such a weird market week, just an odd market week. As if they're not all odd, but just that was the characterization. That's what I'm going to characterize this past week with real movement in markets only for about what looked like a few minutes. Just a sleepy market, except for just this brief period of erratic behavior. Number two today on the list, hot topics. The American healthcare debate, it continues to rage on. It will continue to do so for some time. And we're going to talk about the sticky points of healthcare and how it might impact the world that we live in or markets that we live in. And then something that this may be not necessarily good news, as we talk about when the next recession might hit. When will we see a recession here in the United States as we continue to get decent job numbers and we see the Fed that is pulling up or pushing up interest rates because things are pretty good economically in the United States? Well, when is the next recession hit? When do those numbers start? When does the economic sympathy of data start going the other direction or the wrong direction? And there's an interesting study that talks about one of the big triggers that we can watch for that actually points to a recession. And I have some data about around that and a time frame, a potential time frame in what otherwise might be a cloudy crystal ball. But we are here on Sunday mornings. Really the best part about Money Matters, as you know, if you listen, and if you're listening right now, thank you, of course. Well, on your way to church or headed to play golf, which on a day that I would probably give today a 10, on at least in my book, probably in the Mellish meter too. Sunshine today, high 63, overnight lows 36 to 40. Tomorrow, warm and sunny, high 73, low 54. So it's a beautiful day today, and I hope you're out there, out and about, and I'm glad that you're with us here. Thank you for doing so. But the questions here, the phone line's open today. Maybe you have a question about a pension or a rollover. Which one do you take? Is it monthly, or do I take this monthly amount, or do I roll over this big lump sum and then create my own pension? Which one's a better deal from the company that's trying to get me out the door a little sooner than I maybe thought? And that's something that, again, it's a trend that I thought, it seemed as though it would be a few years of a trend, and that it's been most of my investment career. I've seen companies, big companies, continue to try to get people to retire a little earlier or a little sooner than they might have thought. So maybe you have a pension question, maybe it's a healthcare question, or a question about health savings accounts that we're starting to talk about a lot because they're going to play a bigger role in your future over the next 10 years or 20 years, very likely with healthcare changes coming up. And maybe you're worried about just an allocation or a question, hey, do I have too much in stocks or bonds or international? The fund that I'm using, maybe it's a target date fund and you've been frustrated with a target date fund. Maybe it's an investment question that is plaguing you and you're just trying to get some advice or another opinion about it. Or maybe it's just a question about, are you in the right vehicle to begin with? Is it an ETF? Have you made the switch into lower cost, more tax efficient ETFs? Or maybe you're stuck in an annuity. How do you get out of it? These are the kind of questions that whether you're 35 or 45 or 55 or you're 65, depending on your age, you're going to have a different vantage point of where your finances should be and what you should be doing next. And maybe you've been having this conversation with your kids or your spouse or your parents, and you're trying to figure out a direction. We love to just be an objective second or third opinion on a Sunday morning. And that's probably why you've tuned in, that you're wondering about the world and you're wondering about your own finances. And we love to chat on Sunday mornings. It's really the best part about Money Matters every Sunday morning. So give us a call here in the studio. It's kind of the fun part. The number, again, in the studio, 404-872-0750. 0750. Again, 404-872-0750. And we're going to talk about this, just really a weird week. I don't know if I'd call it funny or odd, but most of the time markets are dramatic, of course, and they're emotional and they're erratic. And they're really anything but funny. But this week was kind of an exception. We saw virtual flatness early in the week. And by the way, we ended the week, for the most part, flat. The S&P 500 was up about a quarter of a point. The Dow was up 11 points, which is virtually a zero percentage move on a Dow that is close to 21,000, 20,914 to be exact. But this week was kind of an exception. Virtual flatness early on, then this quick shock, if you look at the chart, as if the patient got hit with defibrillator pads and then went back to sleep. So a sleepy market and a quick jump around, what time was it? Well, 2 p.m. on Wednesday. And that was, of course, the release of Federal Reserve minutes. And those minutes, we lasted, there was action for a little while, and then boom, back in the hammock. And things got sleepy again really quickly. And maybe it was the snow blast in the Northeast, and I know it wasn't as bad as I thought it was going to be up north. Still, they got a foot of snow in places. Maybe it was because all of our attention was on the new healthcare debate, the new GOP healthcare plan debate. Maybe the sleepiness was that the country was enamored by the meeting, the love fest between Donald Trump and Angela Merkel. Or maybe it was the most unsalacious tax filing leak I think we've ever seen from a president. Oh, remember the one where he made $150 million a year and paid $38 million in taxes? And by the way, that $150 million, that was in, remember this was 05, Apprentice was 04. So this is when the money was really rolling in for him during those Apprentice years. A lot of that cash flow was NBC producer title from The Apprentice. Or maybe it was just March Madness and everyone's just focused in on basketball. I can tell you our family is deadly focused in on what Kentucky and North Carolina are doing in the bracket. So the beginning of remember we talked last week all about this $1 million for life, the Warren Buffett challenge. I have a feeling that no one has won that. So we get $1 million for life, the challenge, just to get the first round right. And of course, I haven't heard anything in the news that has suggested that anyone has $1 million winner for life. And certainly with all the upsets, who knows? Remember the odds from last week of getting that right, about 1 in 4 billion. So again, Luke Moss, do me a Google search, please, and see if anyone won that. So the market as a whole, though, barely moved, except for maybe shares of Canadian Goose, the down feather company. I don't know if that's a hot trend here. I don't think it is really in Atlanta, but in the Northeast, everyone wears these goose feather, Canadian goose feather jackets. That IPO was up almost 40% the day it came out. Over $1 billion private company gone public. But markets in general didn't really do a lot except for Wednesday. But Wednesday, it was all about Janet Yellen and it was about the Fed. And we've been talking about the Fed all year long and what they're going to do to rates. And we saw it and we expected it. It was a 99% foregone conclusion. Federal Reserve interest rates up 0.25%. Now we sit around the 75 basis point mark. So 0.75%. That's where the federal funds target rate sits. Here's what happened, though, and this is why this is important, understanding what they're about to do or what they just did and where that we head from here. Here are my takeaways from the Fed. First of all, there were no dramatic signals from them in any given direction, meaning that they're still going to probably just ever so slightly ratchet up rates another time or two for the rest of the year. They're still data dependent. They continue to say that, meaning that they're not focused in particularly on a path. They want to see what the economy does before they react to it. And again, remember, they expect inflation to hit 2% by the end of the year. And if we don't get there, the Fed's not going to get too aggressive about ratcheting up rates. They want PCE, which is the personal consumption expenditure. That's their measure of inflation. They want that to get to about 2%. Today, it's closer to 1.5%. That means that the U.S. right now isn't in danger. At least the economy itself is not in danger of overheating yet. So that's where we stand. And that's a takeaway from what I heard from Janet Yellen. Number two, they're going to be really careful to unwind. They have this massive balance sheet. Remember, they have a $4.5 trillion balance sheet. That means they've been effectively buying our own bonds. It's kind of like you getting a loan from your spouse. It's like, oh, I'll give you a loan, and then I'll eventually pay you back. It's all in the family. So the Federal Reserve's been buying our own Treasury debt, and they've got about $4.5 trillion worth of that Treasury debt in their pocketbook. And again, if they were just to dump all that onto the open market, that would increase the supply of treasuries, and it would push down prices, push up yields. So it would be a tightening effect on the economy because interest rates would go up massively. Again, they're in no rush to do that. So they reiterated that they're not going to unwind their balance sheet too quickly, which is again another important takeaway about the Fed. They also continue to see the unemployment rate just drifting ever so slightly lower from where it is today. They want to see around 4.5%. We're not quite there yet. And then Janet Yellen also talked about meeting Trump. They've met. They haven't really talked any major details yet. She met with Mnuchin, Treasury Secretary, as well. And the Fed, though, and I think this is important, they're not factoring in any Trump economic bump just yet. So they're not putting that into their models and say, well, all the new stimulus of economic policies, Donald Trump in Washington. Yellen says, and I quote, "We have plenty of time to see what happens if any of this stuff plays out." And she didn't say stuff. And that's the takeaway from the Fed. More interesting than the stock market, though, remember, this week was the bond market. Remember, we've been trending higher and higher on interest rates measured by, we look at the 10-year Treasury, it's an important marker, since last summer. Then we started the year around 2017. We started this year around 2.4%. We hit 2.6% before Wednesday, so trending higher and higher this year. But since the Fed doesn't seem to be rabid to raise rates, we saw a cooling effect. And interest rates on the 10-year Treasury actually fell this week. Even though the Fed raised rates, the bond market, which is really where the action happens, rates actually came down. And rates, the 10-year Treasury fell to 2.5% despite the Fed increase. And I think that's an important reminder to investors that the bond market and interest rates, it isn't just a puppet for exactly what the Fed does. And when the Fed does it, it's a market that's constantly trying to figure out and trying to front run what the Fed will do in the future in response to the economy, just like we see with stocks. When we get back, your calls and questions, 404-872-0750. I'm your host, Wes Moss, here every Sunday morning. Money Matters on News 95.5 AM 750 WSB.
Now, here's more great money and investment advice from certified financial planner Wes Moss.
Sunshine today, high 63. Overnight lows 36 to 40. Tomorrow, warm, sunny with a high of 73. Brought to you by Shoemate. Let's go to the phones here. Andre joins us from Conyers. Andre, what's going on? How can we help?
Hey, good morning. Thank you so much for your insight on a weekly basis. I have a question. I have some funds in an IRA and Roth account and saving for the past 15 plus years. And I'm looking at getting a rental property. I tried to go to a bank and they're stating that it would be about 9% interest on APR if I took the amount from the bank. But I wanted to find out if it would be feasible to take the money out from my IRA or a Roth account.
Andre, how old are you, man?
40 years old.
So you've been saving a long time already. You can, a couple of thoughts here. One, you can get to, if you really, really need to, you can get to your Roth contributions. Not, if you put money in and the Roth has grown, let's say you put in 50 grand and it's now worth 70, you can't take 70 out. You can take out your contributions only and avoid penalties on that and use some of that money for real estate. But as far as taking money out of a regular IRA, it's going to jack up your tax rate in order to do so. And if you do that, the penalty will be way worse than taking a 9% loan. Your tax will be 20, 30% on that and penalties, so probably more like 40. So as bad as that 9% sounds, it's probably better than all the tax ramifications that come with using IRA money and even to some extent the loss of opportunity cost by using your Roth money. So don't do it, in summary. You're listening to Money Matters right here, News 95.5 at AM 750 WSB. So long, touch,
bound for... It's WSB's Money Matters with Wes Moss, certified financial planner and chief investment strategist from Atlanta's Capital Investment Advisors. Wes talks to you about investing and saving for the future. Brought to you every Sunday by RBM of Atlanta, Mercedes-Benz, Sandy Springs.
Good morning. Welcome back to Money Matters. We're going to get back to the phones here. 404-872-0750. I was just on the line with Andre, who we were just talking to right as we went into break, and he had a bunch of other questions about whether he should use IRA or Roth IRA money in order to purchase real estate, and there are a lot of complexities to that. It was really, it was some interesting questions. So Andre, I know his call dropped, so feel free to give us a call back here, Andre, and we'll get you back on with those follow-ups because they're really important questions. 404-872-0750. And the other thought here is if you're listening to Financial Talk Radio, which you are on a Sunday morning, you could argue that might not be the most fun thing to do in the world, but I would argue against that. I used to listen to Financial Talk Radio as a teenager, because there's some sort of mystique out there. It's like, what is that white person going to ask? Oh, I have that same question. Or I have some version of that same question. And that's why we listen. And we learn from everyone's unique financial fingerprint, because there's an element of our own financial DNA in the question that you might hear on the air. And that's why Financial Talk Radio works. And we're one of the last bastions of real live random calls live about people's finances in the world. And it's cool, and we want to continue doing it, so thank you for that. The number again, 404-872-0750. Buffy, you can let me know if Andre gets back on the line, but in the meantime, we've got tons of other calls here, and we'll get to the phones here. Also, we talked about this odd market week. We'll talk about the healthcare debate as that rages on, and then I want to talk about in the 10 o'clock hour when the next U.S. recession might actually hit. There's research on economic data points that we're watching that are really good at forecasting that event, and we want to really keep an eye on that and the time frame in which that happens. So stay tuned for that in the 10 o'clock hour. If you don't have time to fully listen to Money Matters and you're thinking, oh gosh, at 10 o'clock I'll be in church, just go and listen to the podcast afterwards. You can go to wesmoss.com, WESMOSS, and go to the radio tab. It's just WESMOSS.com. Go to the radio tab, or just on iTunes. If you have the podcast app on your iPhone or your Samsung, just go to the podcast app and search for Wes Moss Money Matters. You, of course, can subscribe, and it instantly downloads to your phone when we upload new shows. And we typically do that the Monday right after the Sunday show here from WSB Radio. Let's go and start with David, who joins us from Lawrenceville. David, good morning. What's going on? How can I help, man?
Good morning, Wes. Longtime listener. My wife and I are having a problem. Does this make financial sense to spend $14,000 to get an increase of $173 a month in retirement benefits?
They are asking you to... Are they asking you to buy years, David, or is this just a flat amount?
No, this is what it's going to cost to buy 6.2 years of retirement benefits back.
6.2 years, $173 a month?
That's the increase we would get in benefits.
All right. Well, let's do the... So this is, again, another twist on a pension question here. And they're asking you, so $173 first of all, let me ask a couple other things. Is that a pension that covers just her life, or you, her and you, if something happens to her?
Well, if we do it where it covers both of us, we're only going to get $173 a month. But if it's just her, she would get $66 a month more.
Okay.
So we have the option of doing either or, but we haven't done anything yet.
All right, so I'm doing the quick long form math here. So 239. The next time my kids ask me, Dad, why do we learn to do this on paper when I can just use a calculator? I can still say, kids, even on the radio, I'll do this stuff longhand, guys. Come on, You don't always have to use a calculator. So I'm going to venture to say here, and this is obviously part of a bigger pension, David. What she has, first of all, how old is she?
61.
And this kicks in at what year?
Well, she can retire now.
Wow. All right. So here's the math on that. And this is, and are you guys leaning towards the joint benefit versus the single life benefit covering both of you guys?
We were, yes.
How old are you?
I'm 62.
So you guys are similar age. The math works out to be about, this goes back to the same 6% pension test. And I'm trying to always go back to saying, what is the amount you're spending relative to how much you could earn on your own versus what the pension's going to give you? And I have a 6% test line here, meaning that if the pension itself guarantees you a 6% rate of return for the eternity of that particular pension, that or higher, David, then that's a pretty darn good deal, right? Because it's guaranteed from the pensioner or the company, mm-hmm. and it's typically covered. Even if the company goes out of business, the PBGC will kick in. So it's a virtual guarantee versus you having to then create your own pension at 6% or greater per year. 6% and lower, I say take the lump sum or don't spend the money in this case. 6% rate of return or higher, I tell you to go ahead and do it as far as the buying it back here. So let's do the math. We take $173 times 12 is a little over $2,000 a year. Mm-hmm. It's $2,076 a year. And the cost of that is just this is a one-time cost, correct?
Yes.
Of $14,000?
Mm-hmm.
And if I do that math, you end up with a 14.8% guaranteed rate of return. Meaning that's a really good deal to pay them $14,000. I know it's a lot of money out of pocket today, but it's a really good deal economically for you guys long term to do that, because it's effectively like them guaranteeing you 15% rate of return on that 14 for the rest of your life. I'd take that deal all day long. In fact, I'd ask him, hey, can I give you $140,000 to do the same thing, right?
Uh-huh.
Because it's a guarantee of a 15% rate of return. If you look at the single life calculation for your wife, $239 a month times 12 is almost three. It's $2,800 a year divided by $14,000. That's a 20% rate of return. Means you get your money back in 5 years. So you got to live at least 5 or 6 years to get this money back. And in your case, 14,000 divided by 2,076, which is the joint benefit that you get your money back in 6.7 years.
Right.
It's a no-brainer. That's an absolute no-brainer.
Okay.
And usually you see that, David, when you're buying back years, because you're already in the system and for some reason you're kind of getting this some sort of longevity benefit, meaning you've already been there for a certain period of time, they're allowing you to buy up more years. So often when I see scenarios that have to do with buying an extra year, 5 years, 7 years, depending, they're usually pretty good. They usually works out to you, the beneficiary. It usually works out to your advantage to do so. And this is another example of that, where there's nowhere in the world you can find a guaranteed 14 or 15% like what they're offering to you, David.
Mm-hmm.
So as long as you guys have the capital to do so, and even if you don't have the capital, you're going to want to find a way to get it, because this is too good of a deal from what I can see on all the variables that you just shared with me. Yes, absolutely do it all day long.
Okay. All right, great. That's what I wanted to know, because I've kind of done this back and forth. I was trying to figure out where, you know, living 25 years, you know, how much this was actually going to cost me per year with the $14,000 investment. And I was kind of, I think I've actually overworked this problem. So this really sounds, you really answered my question for me and made me decide to write a check out. So.
All right, Dave. Well, thanks, man. I'm glad it helped.
Okay, well, thank you very much.
Have a great rest of your Sunday. 404-872-0750 is the number here in the studio. We're going to go back to, it looks like Andre came back to us here, and I want to get back to his, are you the same Andre with the real estate question?
Yes, you're quite correct.
Either you hung up or the whole thing just got chopped off.
You know how cell phone works.
So let's go back to this. So you, Andre was basically asking, hey, I've got money in a Roth. I've got money in an IRA. You want to buy some real estate. The question is, do you use your retirement money to do so? You're only how old again?
40 years old.
You're 40. And the loan the bank was going to give you was about how much?
9% rate for 55,000.
So the whole real estate purchase, Andre, is the whole property is only 50 some thousand?
Yes, it is.
Is it a lot or is it just an inexpensive rental home?
It's a HUD home.
Oh, it is. Okay. So, and obviously you've done the math on your rental income from that.
Yes.
What is the cap in real estate? We call it the cap rate, or what's your rental yield, if you will? How much rent do you get per year from the property?
For the year?
Yeah, approximately.
Instead of the year, I'm looking at probably about $900 per month.
Okay, so about $11,000 a year on a $55,000 investment, which is a 20% rental rate, effectively, or yield, which is really good. It's a really high rate, even with maintenance. It's a good deal. So even if you have to pay 9% in the early years in order to get the loan, it's not the end of the world. Because remember, it's not as though that's a forever rate. It's not forever. You can always refinance this. You can always end up from what I can tell here, if you take money out of your IRA, you're going to pay 20-30% taxes and penalties to do that, right?
Yes.
You can take your contributions out of your Roth, but then what you're doing, giving up your Roth, is all the future growth that comes out now tax-free. Real estate's already, Andre, real estate's already very tax efficient because of depreciation and all the things you can do tax-wise. So I know that you've got this hurdle of a 9% loan, but I think the penalties are worse and the opportunity cost is worse using your retirement money already. So what I would do is I'd probably say, you know what, for a year or two or three, I would slow down. I'd even slow down my savings a little bit in order to pay for this real estate opportunity that is a really good deal. And where, again, if you're going to get an 18 to 20% yield on the property or rental income, that's a good deal. And it'll certainly make up for what's right now higher interest, but higher interest typically comes with properties like this. So again, hearing more about your situation, I would still lean towards not pulling out retirement money to buy this property, which long-term looks to be like a good long-term investment for you and the family. The number here in the studio, 404-872-0750, will continue to answer your financial questions here on a Sunday morning. It's what we love to do on Money Matters. You are tuned into Money Matters with me, your host, Wes Moss, certified financial planner here every Sunday morning, 9 to 11, on News 95.5 and AM 750 WSB.
Now back to Wes Moss and the money and investing advice you need.
Good morning. Welcome back to Money Matters here, WSB Radio. To the phones here, Wayne joins us in Snellville. Wayne, good morning. Welcome to Money Matters. How can we help? What's up?
Wayne, what's going on? What's going on? Excuse me, Wes. I'm sorry. What's going on, buddy? I appreciate everything you do, man.
Happy to help. What's going on with you?
Here's my situation, and this is like real life in a capsule. So in 2009, Orkin Pest Control laid off our department. I got divorced, and I lost my house all in the same month.
Wow. Okay? That is real life in a capsule, man.
Yeah, and Orkin had a 401 that I had to actually go through to try to keep my property. I still ended up foreclosing on a property. Now at 45 years old, no IRA, no Roth IRA, no 401, and it's like I'm in a 911 situation. I have three kids. One's 7 months, one's 11, and one's 13.
Well, the question is, are you working again, though?
I am working. Cool. In Tucker, Georgia, for a small family-owned business. They do not offer a 401k, and now it's like I need some real advice on where I should be going, you know, what I should be engaged in right now to at least have some type of stability.
Well, so if you've got your own, so you're still with a company, so you're not a 1099 employee, you're an actual W-2 employee?
Exactly.
All right, which makes it tough, but the first step in this, Wayne, would be to set up an auto IRA so that if you are, if you don't have a plan at work, you can still do a deductible IRA. So you can still do $5,500 a year, and for your spouse, you can too. So that's 11 grand. But but the best way to do it is on auto. So set up an IRA at a Vanguard or a Fidelity or Schwab and automatically put in a little bit of money every single month, just like you would a 401k, which is second best, but at least you're doing something. You're listening to Money Matters right here, News 95.5 AM 750 WSB.